Sis, I didn't give you this scripture. I forgot to give you one. Let's go to Matthew 21, verses 19 through 21 first. And just kind of put your finger on 2 Corinthians 4:13. I don't know why I didn't give that to you. Matthew 21, verses 19 through 21. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, she'll put it on the screen. Amen. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, everybody said, he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Next, please. Praise God. Verse number 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Number 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, because that's really what your walk with God is about. It's about your faith. Everything the devil does to tempt you and to try to distract you and to get you off course and to try to get you to give up is all about your faith in God. Do you really believe him? He says, and doubt not, you shall not only do. Would you go back to verse 21, please? There we go. She's usually, I'm ahead, but she's ahead of me today. Praise the Lord. He says, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. He said, if you shall say, somebody say, say. Say. Amen. Say. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 13, we'll go there now. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore, amen. For a little bit, I want to talk to you about the language of faith. The language of faith. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, help me to do a good job of preaching your word. I pray for your anointing to be upon me tonight, God. Oh, Lord, help me not to get outside of that anointing, but stay within that anointing. And I pray for each and every one of us to be able to receive the word of faith, the engrafted word, which is able to save us, oh God, which is able to change our circumstances. We give you all the praise and the worship in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Won't you be seated tonight? Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Some nasty weather last night. We got a lot of rain, and we got some water issues outside, and we had water come into the sanctuary last night and got that all cleaned up today. Pray we get that taken care of, because we don't want to have to keep dealing with that. Amen. The language of faith. How many here speak more than one language? I should have known right away. Praise God. It's not fair, because she was born speaking German. Praise God. And she had to learn English, which actually I'm told is one of the hardest languages to learn. I don't know. She wouldn't know either, because she hasn't had to learn any other ones other than the ones she was growing up knowing. And then this one. So this one here was probably pretty tough, but she does very well. I'd have never guessed. Praise the Lord. But most of us are just one language people. But tonight, I want to try to train you how to speak another language. And it's going to take some discipline on our behalf. Because to learn how to speak this language, we've got to learn how not to speak the language that we sometimes speak. Amen. It's the language of faith. Because the language of faith is the language of the Spirit. This is the language that God understands best. When you begin to speak faith, God understands the words of faith, but he can't comprehend how we don't trust him and how we don't believe him after everything he's went through and everything he's done for us. God is just flabbergasted at the way sometimes we just speak all this negative stuff and we speak the mind of the devil. Amen. So God understands the language of faith. If you want to speak God, learn how to speak faith. Earlier today, I was in here and I was just praying. I was talking to the Lord and I was asking him for a particular thing. I won't tell you what it was. It was just a particular thing I've been seeking God for and wanting from the Lord. It's something spiritual, praise God. And all of a sudden, that scripture came to my mind, where the guy with leprosy says, "Lord, I know you can cleanse me, you can heal me if you will." And how many here knows what the Lord said? He said, "I will. I will." And I begin to preach to God and begin to speak to God, "I will faith." Amen. I begin to say, "God, I know you will do this in my life. You will make a way for this to happen." Because that's the language that God understands. He don't understand, "I hope so." Amen. We always talk, "Well, I hope so." Hope so is like wishing that it happens, but not really believing that it's going to happen. Amen. When you say, "I know so," that means I trust God that it's going to happen. God's going to make a way. If we want to truly have deep fellowship with Jesus, we've got to learn how to speak the language of faith fluently. There's not a soul in here that doesn't get caught up sometimes when you see certain circumstances arise in your life, that sometimes you just don't speak that doubt and that fear out loud. That's why I said it's going to take some discipline, because we've got to retrain ourselves not to speak that way. It's hard because everything around us is negative. It don't matter where you go, what you do, the world's coming to the end, everything's terrible, everything's bad, and everybody hates everybody, and all this stuff's going on. You can't turn on the news or the radio, everything's negative, amen. And in a negative world, it needs somebody who knows how to speak faith, that God is still in control, that there's nothing surprising to God, that he's got it all under control. So we've got to learn how to speak faith. You can't learn faith at the university. They don't teach it in high school. Rosetta Stone don't have a program for it. Praise God. So that's not going to help you. But the Bible said faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God, Romans 10:17 said. So when we get to listening to God's voice, and you know, when you're reading the word of God, when you're reading the word of God, you also have to be able to hear the word of God. Not just simply to just read what it says and just pass on by, but something's got to get a hold of your heart. I was talking to Sister Leslie Cooper today, and she said, "You know, I used to teach on this stuff, and I used to talk about this stuff." She said, "And I believed with my head," she said, "but I never really believed with my heart," she said. "But now, since I've gotten the gift of the Holy Ghost," she says, "I've learned how to hear with my heart and to believe with my heart." Amen. There's something, a language of faith starts inside of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We just press our ear toward heaven and listen. Amen. And we repeat. I kept hearing Jesus say, amen, I do those things which I've heard of my Father. What do you mean? The man Christ Jesus was listening to the Spirit. We've got to learn how to tune in to the Spirit, because the Spirit will give us words, and those words will be words of faith. And when you can hear the voice of God, you can speak those things out loud. If you can hear the devil speak negative, you can hear God speak positive. Amen. When it comes right down to it, we must seize it. We've got to grab a hold of the words that the Lord speaks. We've got to make them our own. They can't just be for Peter and John and Paul and all those in the scripture. It can't just be for the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. It can't just be for the disciples or for the lady, the widow of Nain, who had her child raised from the dead. It can't just be for those in the Bible. We've got to personalize and make those things. We've got to hear him say, "I will," to you. We've got to know that what he did for them, he'll do for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, "I am no respecter of persons." Praise God. Praise God. And then when we receive it, we've got to release it. We've got to speak it out. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we believe, we must speak. When we believe, we must speak. Praise God. I believe, 2 Corinthians, I just read to you, 4:13. I believe, therefore I speak. I spoke it because I believe it, praise God. Hallelujah. Silent faith has never moved a mountain. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Amen. You've got to speak faith out loud. You've got to believe it and say it. Hallelujah. Not just hold it in, say, well, I've got a silent faith. No, no, no. You've got to speak faith out. You've got to let it out. You've got to put it out there so it can take place. It's that seed you've been talking about, Brother Powers. It's that seed of faith. When you throw it out, it begins to lodge in people's hearts, and it begins to grow, and they begin to believe in God. Hallelujah. There's power. Power in our words. Praise God. Let's take a look at James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. James 3, 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue, the Bible says, is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Amen. Just a little fire. How many saw Smokey the Bear? Don't play with matches. Amen. The tongue is so set among our members of our body that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell, the scripture says. There is no doubt that negative words bring negative results. You can speak your calamity right into existence. You can just keep speaking it, and you'll follow that path. Amen. Because that's really what you believe. Amen. But if we'll learn how to get rid of those doubtful thoughts, those fearful thoughts, and we'll begin to speak faith into our situations. Words of doubt, words of fear, words of negativity contain strength to release the power of hell into people's lives. When we speak certain things, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm allowing the devil to work in this situation. Something's going to work through your words. It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the devil. And depending on what we speak, we can speak, and when it's giving the devil permission to work in our lives. If we say, I'm going to be sick, there's no hope for me. Oh, I'm going to catch this, or I'm going to fall, or I'm going to make a mistake. Of course you're going to, because you just opened the door for hell. My marriage will never work. Amen. My finances will never get better. I'll never feel well. It's just, this is the way for me. When we open that up and we speak those things out, we give demons and devils the opportunity to come and work in that way in our lives. Amen. We've got to stop it. We've got to get a hold of what we speak and what we think. We've got to learn how to get control of those things. Praise God. And there's no shortage of people in this world who speak the language of doubt and negativity and fear. There's no shortage. You work with them. You're related to them. Amen. You may sleep with them. I don't know. But the language of doubt sounds like this. Curse God and die. Who said that? No, not Job. Job's wife. Haven't you saw the Tim Hawkins thing? Have anybody other than me saw that? It's pretty funny, isn't it? He said the devil went in and killed all Job's kids, killed all of his livestock, destroyed his wealth, his crops, everything, took everything he had. Job's laying there and boils. And this is what Tim Hawkins, you can look it up. He said, the demon said to the devil, hey, you forgot Job's wife. And he says, oh, no. Leave her alone. I know what I'm doing. Praise God. She was just happened to be one of those people who spoke doubt and spoke fear. Amen. Who spoke the negative. That's the language of doubt. That's the language of fear. That's the language of negativity. How about, we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Remember who said that? It was the 10 spies that had spied out the land of promise. And they saw all the good stuff, and they had grapes the size of your head, and they were bringing them back. But what they saw, they ignored all that. What they saw, what they concentrated on was giants. They said, it can't be done. And they begin to speak the word of doubt. And you know what they did? They turned everybody in that camp's heart to fear. They begin to speak doubt. And they begin to speak fear. And it affected the people around them. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you speak that stuff, you're loosing stuff in the air. How about this? You won't maybe remember, some of you, this is a little harder one. If the Lord were to make windows in heaven, might this thing be? It was the officer of Jehoram, king of Israel. Remember in Elisha's day when those four lepers, Brother Nate, you know about the four lepers. We preach this back and forth to each other. The four lepers that were outside the gate. Amen. Remember the servant had come to Elisha, and Elisha said, this time tomorrow, things are going to be back to normal. The commerce will be back to this place will be full of food, everything. And that guy said, if the Lord was to make windows in heaven, there's no way this is going to happen. And you know what Elisha said? Mr. Negative Speaker, Mr. Doubter, Mr. Don't Believe in Nothing, don't believe that you can live for God, don't believe you could ever get the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. He said, you're going to see others enjoy it, but you're not going to get enjoy it because you believe in doubt. You're speaking doubt. You're speaking negativity. And if that's what you want to believe, then you go right ahead and you can reap the benefits of what you're saying. Then there's the disciples in the storm. We perish. Thank God Jesus came walking by and somebody had the guts to get out of the boat. They said, we perish, and they would have. Those are words of doubt. Why didn't somebody say, the Lord said, we're going to the other side, and we're going to the other side? Hallelujah. How about unless I put my fingers into the nail prints and reach down into his side, I won't believe that he's alive and that it's him. Anybody remember who said that? What's his name? Doubting Thomas. His name's really just Thomas, but he became Doubting Thomas, didn't he? Praise God. Everybody calls him Doubting Thomas because of that statement of doubt. I won't believe unless I see. If words of doubt and fear are powerful, how much more powerful are words of faith? If we would begin to speak salvation over our kids, if we begin to speak life into our relationships, if we begin to speak reconciliation into our marriages, if we begin to speak blessings over our finances, blessings over our health, what would happen if we begin to speak those things? One of the things I make myself do, there's seven people I praise God for. There are eight, count Sister Leslie this morning. Every morning I praise God for Dennis Teets, that God is touching him and moving on his behalf. Amen. Every day. Every day I praise God for a young girl named Carrie in this city that's suffering with a tumor, has been battling with a tumor. I praise God for the shrinking of that tumor. Every day, amen, I praise God for little Lena coming up out of that wheelchair. She doesn't come here anymore, but I still pray for her. She's still my friend. She still texts me from time to time. Amen. Every day I pray and I praise God for this young girl named Nicole Yearsley, who used to be a waitress for Sister Wagner and I at El Sombrero years ago. And she had a stroke or an aneurysm or something, and it paralyzed her for a while, and it messed her up. And I praise God for the day that she gets to drive again and walk again and minister to her kids again. Praise God. Every day I praise God for Cody Young, who was in a terrible accident many, many years ago. And his mom and dad have served him and waited on him and given their lives up to be there for him. And every day I praise God that he is healing and bringing him and making him whole and helping him to be able to walk and talk and praise God and feed himself and put his own clothes on. Praise God. Every day I praise God for a friend of mine named Scott that he's going to get out of prison early. Every day I praise God for my grandson Charlie that he has some things that God needs to work out in him. Amen. And God's doing those things. Every day I praise God for those things. Amen. And I have a list of people. Prayer is a job to me almost. It's so much to get done. So many people that need prayer that I feel like when I can't pray that I've let them down. That it's a day, amen. If there goes a week by that I don't bind the leader of the devils in this city and I don't bind devils that attack families and addictions and all that stuff, I feel like I'm letting this city down, praise God. You got to understand something. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and we need to begin to speak faith over these. Every morning I praise God, and I begin to prophesy a great harvest out of this city. Thousands of souls coming to the Lord. I don't care if you believe me or not. I'm praising God for it, and I am prophesying for it every day. I will not stop. What's my option? To go sit in a corner, suck my thumb, and cry and whine that everything's so tough and so hard? I could speak faith and just let the devil run rampant. Or I could speak doubt and let the devil run rampant. Or I could speak faith and let the angels of God begin to work. And the angels of God begin to do things in this community and in your life and in my family and in my life. Praise God. I believe this stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak the language of faith, we can expect positive and powerful results. Amen. The language of faith goes something like this. The lad and I will go yonder to worship and will return. Those words were spoken by Abraham when God had asked him to go and sacrifice Isaac on an altar. You want to talk about, you think that you have a hard time serving God and God's asked you to do some tough stuff? Praise God. You think you've got it tough? One of the toughest things to do is to put something in God's hands and stop trusting yourself to fix it. It's hard for all of us control freaks. We want to make things right. We want it done now. But there's a process with God. Amen. There's a process with God. There really, really is, praise God. Abraham said, I trust God. He said, the Bible tells us later in Hebrews 11 that Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. He said, I'm going to go kill him, but we're coming back down the mountain together. I'm going to stab him, and I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice to God, but we're coming back down. Hallelujah, because God gave me a promise that through his seed, that the Jesus Christ would come and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He spoke it. He told his servants, you wait right here. We'll be back. Amen. Praise God. How about this one? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb said that. He had a buddy that was right there with him. Anybody remember that guy? He led the children of Israel into the land of promise. Remember that guy? Joshua. Amen. I thought I heard somebody say Jacob. I'm like, wrong J. Amen. It's close. Just change some letters around. Praise God. Joshua. But Caleb said that. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones to walk into that promised land. Everybody that said, "We don't believe," everybody who began to speak fear and doubt, none of them received the promise. But those who began to speak faith and said, "We can do it. God is more than able. Let's go do it right now. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's go do it right away. Praise God. We can do this." Hallelujah. Because God is on our side. Hallelujah, he spoke faith. He spoke faith. And one day he went to Joshua and said, "Hey, remember when we were looking out the land and I saw this mountain, I want it?" He said, "I want my mountain." You know what Joshua told him? "Go get it." Praise God. That's a sermon for another day. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 46. Hallelujah. Verses 45 and 46. I don't think I gave you that one either, sis. I don't know how I keep passing these up, but I didn't. Give me 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 and 46. And just let me set it up for you before I read it. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. It's probably the most popular story in the Bible. Everybody knows, we all love that story. Praise God. But the giant's down in that valley, and he's screaming and hollering all his obscenities and cursing God and everything else. David could have looked at his circumstances like many of us would, because there's things that are way bigger than us. That giant probably was 2.5 of David, maybe more. I don't know, at 9'6" tall, how much a person would weigh. His coat of mail weighed 120 pounds, so he was a pretty big dude. I'm guessing that big, he was probably around 400 pounds or so, probably lean muscle. He could have probably put David in a headlock and popped his head right off of his shoulders. He was a big dude, and it looked impossible. But David didn't look at the circumstance like we do. And I'm not judging you. And I'm not even criticizing. I'm just saying this is what we do. This is what we've got to learn to stop. He could have looked at the situation, begin to read the situation, and begin to speak the situation out. Begin to speak the problem out and begin to focus on the problem. And oh, the problem's so big. Oh, the problem's, hear what the problem's saying. You hear how hard it is. There's no way I can overcome this. He could have just focused on that. Oh, the pain hurts so bad. Oh, I have this issue in my life. Oh, work's just whatever, praise God. You could go on and on. The list could go on forever. Amen. But David did not do that. He did not look at the giant and begin to talk about his problem. He began to look at his God and talk about his power. He began to talk about what God could do, not what the giant could do. He began to talk about what faith could accomplish. He said, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" Next verse, amen. "This day will the Lord," not me. I don't have the ability. I can't make things fix. I can't make it right. But I got one that I'm connected to who will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always by me, and he's going to take care of me. "The Lord will deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite you and take your head from off of you." Amen. "And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Powerful is that? How powerful is that? That's talking some stuff. Amen. That's looking at your problem and saying, "Guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to beat you down. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to get victory. And when I'm done, I'm going to be more powerful than I was before." Amen. When I'm done whipping you, when I'm done overcoming this, when I get through this thing, amen, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get the victory. I'm going to be the winner. I'm going to come out on top. And when I do, I'm going to be more powerful with God than I've ever been. I'm going to have more faith. I'm going to be more of a nightmare for the devil than I've ever been. Amen. That's where we got to get to. The results of what David did to the giant speak for themselves. Hallelujah. David began to speak what was in him. Because the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what a person really believes? Just listen to them talk. You want to know what they really believe? Just listen to them. You'll know what they really believe because it's going to come out. It's what's in their heart. They can't help it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. David had faith in his heart, even when he was faced with the worst opposition he could have ever imagined. That one guy had everybody in the Israeli army scared to death. And David walked down there when nobody else would, and he was less equipped and less talented, and he had less experience than anybody up there, at least as far as battling in a war. And he walked down there because he had faith that God would win the victory for him. Praise God. And he began to speak from his heart. I believe, therefore have I spoken. A man's words will reveal his heart. Praise God. That's why we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. You said, well, the devil knew they were going to get the Holy Ghost. That's why he did it. No, he didn't. We give the devil way too much credit. He knew this was going to happen. That's why he fought against me. No, he didn't. He fought against you because that's what he does every day. If he sees certain angels show up in your life, well, yeah, he knows that something's getting ready to happen. He goes, those angels are here for a purpose. He knows what those angels' purposes are for. So, yeah, then. But he don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He had to read the Bible just like you and I did to know what was going to happen in the future. He don't know your thoughts. He don't know what you're going to do. But you can give away your hand if you begin to speak negatively and you begin to speak those fears and you begin to speak those doubts and you begin to speak the things that the devil is speaking into your mind. You don't have to speak that stuff. Train yourself to stop. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm human just like you. I see a problem and immediately I want to identify the problem. But I've got to learn to stop speaking my fears and start speaking faith. What I want to see happen, what I know God can do, instead of what I'm seeing going on in my life right now. And it's so easy to do that. But we've got to learn. We've got to train ourselves to speak another language. Praise God. Praise God. We've got to learn how to speak the language of faith. Amen. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak that faith. Speak to that mountain, no matter what that mountain might be. God told Ezekiel, he said, speak to the wind. Prophesy to the dry bones. Preach life. Amen. Preach revival into your dead circumstances. Preach. Speak it. Speak whatever you want. I'm speaking my marriage to be healed. I'm speaking my finances to be blessed. I'm speaking a raise at work. I'm speaking today, hallelujah, promotion. I'm speaking, amen, hallelujah, overcoming that temptation. I'm not going to be bound. Praise God. Jesus spoke to the storm. He didn't speak doubt. He didn't say, oh, the winds, look, it must be 50 miles per hour out there. Oh, we're all going to drown. Remember when he was asleep in the back of the boat? Isn't that amazing? Storm's raging. Jesus is fast asleep. He wasn't nervous at all. Amen. If you stop thinking about it, nobody should have been. I'm going to just get as close to him as I can. This thing's going down. He's going down. He ain't going nowhere. Praise God. Remember what Jesus did? He spoke faith. He said, peace. Be still. And the storm calmed. Satan's been hounding you, tempting you sore. Amen. Jesus said, speak to the rebel. What did he say? Get thee behind me. Some of you have been tempted with some stuff to do wrong. Oh, man. I could get into some sin tonight. been tempted and tempted and tempted. You've been trying to overcome this temptation in your life, and it keeps beating you up, beating you up, beating you up. Let me tell you something. You've got to start speaking to the issue and saying, get behind me. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not thinking this way anymore. I'm not going to allow this to be a part of me anymore. Amen. There's nothing changing in your dark period that you're going through. You remember God spoke into darkness and said, let there be light. Begin to speak light into your circumstances. Hallelujah. Begin to speak faith over whatever it is that you're dealing with. So you got to believe that his name is greater than your predicament. And then you got to speak it. Believe that his name is greater than any giant you face. And then speak it. Praise God. Hallelujah. He has labeled you. The Lord has labeled you. He's called you an overcomer. Amen. The language of faith says, I can do all things through Christ who loves me. That's faith. Amen. Will you stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 3 said that negative words had the power of hell behind them. Did you catch that? You naggers. Constantly nagging. Nag, 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 nag. Don't be the devil's mouthpiece. Don't do it. Amen. Because our words, negative words, have the power of hell behind them. Who do you want standing in your corner? Who do you want to have your back? The devil who couldn't serve God when there wasn't a devil? Do you want the devil who lies and cheats and steals? I don't know how any of those demons follow him. I guess they don't have much of a choice, but I bet none of them trust him. He would throw them under the bus in a second. Is that who you want behind you, hell? Keep speaking hell's language, and you empower hell to work in your life. Don't speak negative over your kids. Just tell them they're stupid or dumb or they can't do something. That gives hell power to work in their life. Words are powerful. They're powerful. The language of faith has heaven backing it up. It has all of heaven's resources. And if I wanted anyone backing me up, I'd want those angels. Those angels that have heaven's resources at their disposal. It may seem strange, but it's true that if we begin to speak faith into our lives, things will begin to change. Man. Things will begin to change. It's time to stop being a negative Nancy. If you're a guy, it's just time to quit being a Nancy. Praise God. It's time to stop being a negative Nancy and start being maybe a can-do candy. Praise God. Can-do Cameron. Praise God. Hallelujah. Starts with our words. Starts with our words. Just don't let anything fly out of your mouth. Man, how many victories have we forfeited because we spoke our own defeat. We spoke our own defeat. Somebody said they snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. I want to be that person. I want to change. I want to change. I want to speak faith. It's a process. I'll catch myself. You'll catch yourself slipping up from time to time. That's when you stop yourself, say, scratch that. I'm not going to allow that to be my thought process anymore. Won't we just come to the altar for a few minutes? It's only 8:06. You give the Lord a 5-minute altar. Just come and say, God, I need your help. I want to start speaking the language of faith. I don't want to keep speaking negativity and poor me and it's never going to get any better and all that stuff that the devil thrives through. But Lord, help me to learn to speak faith. Help me to learn to speak your mind instead of the devil's mind. Help the voice that is loudest in my mind and in my heart to be your voice. Hallelujah. Let it, oh Lord, let it be louder than any other voice I hear. Let it triumph over everything in me that's not of you. In Jesus' name I ask. Come on, church. Will you just reach out to him and just love him for a little while? She sings us to Jesus. Hallelujah.